As we continue our study this morning through the shorter catechism, we come to the additional questions and answers pertaining to the fifth commandment of honoring your father and your mother. And if you want to look at these in the hymnal, you can find these on page 670. We're considering particularly this morning questions 64, 65, and 66 of the shorter catechism, and those questions and answers are as follows. Question 64, what is required in the fifth commandment? The fifth commandment requireth the preserving of the honor and performing the duties belonging to everyone in their several places and relations as superiors, inferiors, or equals. Question 65, what is forbidden in the fifth commandment? The answer being the fifth commandment forbiddeth the neglecting of or doing anything against the honor and duty which belongeth to everyone in their several places and relations. And then question 66, what is the reason annexed to the fifth commandment? Answer being the reason annexed to the fifth commandment is a promise of long life and prosperity as far as it shall serve for God's glory and their own good to all such as keep this commandment. As for the texts that these questions and answers are based on, we turn once again to Exodus chapter 20. As we read this commandment as it's contained in the law that God gave to Moses, beginning in verse 12, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Also, as we have looked at, it is contained as well in Ephesians chapter 5. As the Apostle Paul reiterates these in the New Testament era, beginning in verse 21, I guess we'll start in 20. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart as to Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And you masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. So as we continue our consideration of the fifth commandment, remember that the exhortation to honor your father and your mother comes with, as Moses and the Apostle Paul point out to us, with the promise for reward, that it may be well with you and that you would live long on the earth. Now this commandment is given specifically to a particular people, not to all people in general, in the sense that the promised blessing is when those people who do this do it out of conscience towards God. So it is specifically given to the elect of God who do seek to respect and honor their parents for conscience sake. It is In the light of this blessing that I would like to ask you to consider with me this morning, the requirements and the prohibitions and the reasons regarding this fifth commandment. Now, even though we know that love to God and love to man is the fulfillment of the law of God, yet it is not enough to simply say that we ought to love God and we ought to love each other. What does that mean? Is it left up to each individual as to how they love God and as to how they love each other? Well, if you were to pull the average church-going individual in our era, the vast, overwhelming majority of them would answer a resounding yes, that it is up to the individual to decide for themselves how they will love God and love their neighbor. Loved ones, there is nothing further from the truth. It is not left to our own imagination as to how we'll love God and our neighbor, but rather God has established the context, the framework of that love through the ordinances of the commandments that He has given us. Look with me, if you will, at Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, if you'll skip down to verse 14, we see that the Apostle Paul writes, "But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection." But he doesn't leave it at that. He goes on immediately to frame out, to flesh out the framework, the context of this by giving commandments. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts to which you were called. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. Jumping down to verse 18, he reiterates the same thing that we just read out of Ephesians chapter 5 and 6. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter towards them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you'll receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Now, as we can see here quite plainly, that we are to put on love, which is the bond of perfection. But nevertheless, the Apostle Paul goes on to describe for us specifically how we are to love now. What is that bond of perfection? That wives are to submit to their husbands, husbands are to love their wives, children are to obey their parents, fathers are not to provoke their children, employees are to obey their employers are to give just and fair compensation to their employees, etc. These same Ten Commandments are reiterated over and over and over again throughout the Scripture record in the same way or similar ways, and they provide for us then the context for how we are to love God and to love our neighbor. This is not an unusual thing, this idea of retelling the law as the Apostle Paul. We see him doing it both to the Ephesians and the Colossians, and we can look at any one of his epistles and see tremendous similarities in every one of his epistles to what we just read in these two. But look at what Moses wrote as well in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 5, and if you'll recall what Deuteronomy means, it means the second telling of the law. And in Deuteronomy chapter 5, and in verse 16, as Moses retells the whole law to the people, he says, "Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long, and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you." Moses reminds the people, first of all, that this is a command from God. Honor your father and mother as the Lord your God has commanded you. The Lord has commanded you. Love your father and your mother. He has commanded you. It's not my idea. It's not the idea of Moses. God told Moses to tell the people. This is a command from God. Honoring your father and your mother is a command from God. It's not an option. It is not open for debate. This is a command from God. You honor your father and your mother. And that the command furthermore carries with it a blessing, that your days may be long. And he adds something here which is absent in the first telling of the law, and he goes on to say, and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Loved ones, you will admit very quickly, I believe, with me, that long life or great riches without the corresponding blessing of God on those riches or long life is not a blessing or at all. To see that a long life or great riches is a blessing in and of themselves is just plain wrong. There are many people who live long lives, but their lives are miserable. And they wish that they would be cut short. There are many people with great riches, but there is no corresponding happiness or satisfaction in the things which they possess. And so we see that the blessing of this commandment is given to those who, out of fear of God, out of conscience towards God, obey this commandment to honor their fathers and their mothers. And let me reiterate here that this includes, as we have read out of questions 64 through 66 in our shorter catechism, and as Mr. Darner led us this morning in our New Testament reading out of Romans chapter 13, it includes all those who are our superiors in this life. Step-parents, in-laws, bosses, police officers, our elected officials, etc., etc. And not just the good ones, but also the not so good ones. And this is where we chafe. But look with me at 1 Peter. Skip down to verse 17, would you please? This whole chapter is about submitting, but if you would, just for time's sake, let's skip down to verse 17, would you? And follow along with me. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable, if because of conscience towards God one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults you take it patiently, but when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. What credit is it if when we are beaten for our faults, we take it patiently? It is of no value at all, Peter is telling us. But when we do good and suffer, if we take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this we were called, because Christ also suffered for us, and that we also ought to follow in his steps. Now, thankfully, most of us do not suffer beatings in our era from our bosses or our parents or our teachers. But we are often taken advantage of. We are often abused in some sense, verbally or otherwise. There are many times when our bosses, our teachers, our parents are unreasonable with us and fail to give us our proper due recognition. Now, of course, when we screw up and we're chastised for it, we take it humbly. But how often has it happened to you, loved ones, when you've been working diligently to get a job done, sacrificing even your own time to meet some deadline which was unreasonable in the first place, in all likelihood, and you bring the job in on time, to the customer's tremendous satisfaction and even delight, But then you get no recognition for it. And if that were not bad enough, not only are you not recognized for what you just did, which was nearly a superhuman effort, but that your boss immediately criticizes you for something else without even so much as a thanks for that job well done. That's what Peter's getting at here this morning. How often has it happened with students and their teachers in this way, or children and their parents? Where children, perhaps you had done something and you thought it was particularly praiseworthy, deserving of at least recognition. Hey, look, not only did I cut the whole grass, but I weeded and did this, that, and the other thing. But your parent, instead of recognizing this and giving you your due for that, they say, "Why didn't you take out the garbage?" And you feel like a knife was plunged into you. This is what Peter's getting at. And yeah, it's hard to swallow this. But let's all take a deep breath and admit that that is what the text is saying here. That when we suffer this kind of injustice and we bear it patiently out of conscience towards God, this is what is commendable. Calvin says that this commandment is given to the elect of God, and again, notice, the elect of God, not that all men don't owe their parents honor, they do, but the blessing is given to those particularly who do it out of conscience towards God, and that's what Calvin's getting at, given to the elect of God to show us that respect is owed to those people who are in positions of authority, because no human society can be maintained in its integrity unless children modestly submit to their parents and unless those who are set over others by God's ordinance are even reverently honored. This commandment that God has given us, we see, it is essential to a well-ordered society. And that is what is owing to our happiness, our well-being in life. I would also like to call to your attention the fact that in this commandment, that it is directed that children are to honor their fathers and their mothers. Mothers are mentioned specifically in this commandment. And this is in order that they would not be held in contempt by their male children as they grow towards reaching the age of majority. Up to a certain age, little boys are apt to show proper and appropriate love and respect toward their mothers, but after a point, there is a tendency that they begin to treat their mothers with contempt. They learn that they can get away with things with their moms that they never could with dad. And this stems from the same sin which would cause a man to be bitter towards his wife. And that's what the Apostle Paul just warned us and cautioned us against in Colossians 3. That husbands are to love their wives and not to be bitter towards them. Because the tendency, the way the fall has impacted males, is that we would be bitter towards our wives. But it starts in childhood. And dads, it serves us well that we would be aware of this. And we would caution our sons of this, that when we see our sons treating their mothers, our wives, with a degree of disrespect and contempt, that we would caution them at that point. Sons, you must respect your mother. Because we know if we don't challenge them at specifically that point, that sin will develop until they, once they are married, They treat their wives with contempt and they are bitter towards their wives. And this is contemptible to be sure, and it is surely an offense towards God, who demands honor of the one just the same as the other. He doesn't say, children, honor your fathers more than your mothers, but honor your mothers too. He says, children, honor your fathers and your mothers equally. And so for the preserving of societies, we are taught by this commandment that equal honor is to be paid to all levels of authority, to the first in command as well as to the second. And this should not only be the case when the first in command is present, but even more importantly when the first in command is absent. And only the second in command, who is representative of the authority of the first in command, is there. Because this is when it demonstrates most that we are doing it out of conscience towards God. We've considered how all commands to respect and honor those in authority stem from this fifth commandment. To honor, the Hebrew word kabod, means to pay what is due to another person. In the case of the relationship between employees and employers, it's easy to see that this would include the employee giving to their employer a fair day's work for a fair day's wage. And also on the part of the employer to give to the employee a fair day's wage for a fair day's work. That is our debt that we owe to each other. In regard to God, we owe Him our worship. That is the primary way in which we honor Him. We recognize His greatness and we tell Him He is great and worthy of all our praise. And when it comes to our parents, there is some of both of these aspects in the way in which we owe them our honor. We owe it to them to recognize, if not their greatness, at least their goodness, and to tell them. Before we come in our worship services on the Lord's Day to the study of the Word of God together, we first sing hymns in which we tell back to God His greatness. We confess our sins to Him as to how we have failed Him and have failed to live up to the family name, Christian. And there should be some similarity in the way in which we honor our parents. That we ought to tell them how we have benefited from being their children. By their words and by their example, that we would call self-consciously to our minds how we have benefited from these dear people that God has given to watch over us. Each one of you have been impacted deeply, profoundly by your own parents, by your fathers and by your mothers. Who you are today is in large part owing to who you had as parents. Now, for those of us who are parents, this is a very sober thought, that we realize this profound impact and influence that we have over another being. At times, it's very humbling when we see our failings, our own sin manifested in our children. But it's the truth of the matter. But there are many ways that we have been impacted and influenced for good by our own earthly parents, by our fathers and by our mothers, by His words and example. I learned from my own father to love and to cherish my wife as a treasure, and that there is no creature in all the world as beautiful as a woman. Because that's how I saw him treat my mother. My father also taught me to never harbor a grudge. He wouldn't let us harbor a grudge, and neither would he let my mother harbor a grudge, no matter how terrible we were as children and how we upset our mother. He would discipline us, and sometimes it was overly severe, in my opinion. But then he would tell my mother, "Donna, drop it. I dealt with it. Drop it." He wouldn't let her go for days and days holding a grudge against us. Both of my parents taught me from a very young age to love to read. There was never a birthday or a Christmas that passed that they didn't press some book in my hand, a book that they either thought that I would enjoy or they thought would be good for me, usually both. And I have to admit that who I am today and who you are today is in large part due to our parents. To this day, I don't hold a grudge. I love to read. And my attitude towards my wife has been profoundly influenced by my father's attitude towards his. Those people whom God saw fit would be our parents have profoundly impacted us. And we remember that the Apostle Paul in chapter 12 exhorts us, as we submit ourselves to God's fatherly correction, that we remember our earthly fathers who corrected us as they saw fit. He recognizes, he calls to our mind the fact that there is this natural bond between parents and their children. But as children, we ought to remember this and to tell our parents how we benefited from their influence in our lives. And we also ought to honor our parents similarly to the way in which we honor our employers by giving them a day's work for a day's wage, and that we remember that we owe our parents for their devotion to us and their service to us. How much have our lives been made easier because we had parents who sacrificed for us to make sure that we had those things that were needful and so many things that were luxuries. Plenty of good food, warm clothes. Did your mothers ever send you outside with that hats and gloves in the winter? No, they say, "Get back in here and put your hat and your gloves on." They ever send you to bed hungry, unless you were being disciplined? I would say no. That they made sure that they found something in the house to feed you. Maybe not what you would have preferred, but they found something to feed you. And again, Jesus takes notice of this, calling on this symbol of the natural affection between fathers and their sons when he says, "What father, when his son asks for bread, would give him a stone? Or what father, when his son asks for a fish, would give him a serpent," right? Serpent, in Matthew chapter 7. And therefore, because of the tremendous goodness that our parents have demonstrated towards us, that in our childhood, when we were in need, that they made sure we had food to eat and clothes to wear, maybe not as good as someone else's, but as good as they could afford. And they sacrificed so much for us. Ought we not also now, according to that natural bond of affection, be ready to support and sustain them in their older age? And not to do it grudgingly, but to cheerfully comply with this command. Children, honor your fathers and your mothers. And furthermore, we know that an outward compliance, an external compliance with the commands, is not what God is after here. No, but rather, it is an inward reality attached to that, that we would be striving to honor our parents in our hearts, that there would be an inward reality to it. that we would be sincere. Again, Calvin says if someone might object here that there are many ungodly and wicked fathers whom their children cannot regard with honor without destroying the distinction between good and evil. But he says the reply is easy. There is still the perpetual law of nature that is not subverted by the sins of men. And therefore, however unworthy of honor a father may be due to his outward actions, nevertheless he still retains, inasmuch as he is a father, his right over his children. And therefore, the commandment, children, honor your fathers and your mothers, continues. Even if the father is a villain, he is still to be honored as your father, the father that God gave you. Though you might be chagrined at his wickedness, he's still your father. And there is some good that he taught you. And all commands to honor carry with them the order to be in subjection. We recognize this. But it is also to be recognized, as the Apostle Paul gives further definition to this commandment when he says that children are to obey their parents in the Lord. That is to say, if a parent were to require something that is unrighteous, obedience is to be denied. We're to endure many things patiently that are difficult. We endure hardship from those who are our authorities. We are to endure an overly strict parent. Those who are morose, who are sullen, who seem detached and removed. Even those who are cruel, but never when there is a demand to offend God. And we extrapolate this out and we recognize that the same thing is true of other earthly authorities, our bosses and those who are in authority over us, that we are to absolutely deny those laws and demands that are made of us that are an offense to God, because we understand that all earthly authority is always only proximate authority, and that only God has supreme authority, and that all those who are in authority ought actually to be pressing God's authority. They ought to be ruling and recognizing that they rule in God's place. And that therefore their rule ought to be a righteous rule. And where it is wicked and unrighteous, that there are times when that person has become a tyrant and is now tyrannically demanding wicked and unrighteous actions from their subjects, that we actually have an authority to throw off those bonds, because we are not slaves of unrighteousness, but righteousness. And so where they make our lives impossible to be lived unless we would live unrighteously, we have a duty to throw off those bonds. So we must distinguish, loved ones, always between harshness and unrighteousness. But to this command, God does add His blessing, that it may be well with you and that you would live long on the earth when it's done out of conscience towards God. Loved ones, will you then resolve with me that where we have been remiss in our duties to honor our parents and those who are in authority over us, that we would make every effort to repent of our contempt for that authority, and to make every effort out of conscience towards God to honor them with the grace that God gives us. Will you please pray with me? Father, we do thank You for Your commandments, which shed light on our way, which don't leave us to our own mischief, which keeps us from walking in paths of unrighteousness to our own demise, but that You help us, Lord, to recognize these things for our own good. We remember that we are all, always people who are under authority, each and every one of us. And as a consequence, I pray that you would help us to pray for all those who are in authority over us, and especially, Lord, that we would honor our parents out of fear, out of conscience towards you. In Jesus' name I pray it. Amen.